Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Maddie.
And this is the Content Creatives Podcast. Our mission is to empower creatives to discover, grow, and own their brand. Today, we're going to be sharing a few tips on how to create content on a budget.
Woohoo!
So if you're just starting out or just starting to get into blogging or Instagram for your personal brand or business and you don't have a ton of resources, this podcast episode is for you. We also wanted to give a shout out to @MorgiesHarmony for submitting this question. Thanks so much, Morgie, for submitting this. We saw your question come through and we thought, wow, this would make a really great podcast episode.
This is a good one. I'm excited about this
one. I know, me too. So we hope you found these tips helpful. So before we get started, let's do our question of the day.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. Go, go, go.
Question of the day.
Okay. It gets better every time. It really does.
Okay. So our question is, what's the worst advice someone has given you?
Dun, dun, dun.
So I thought this was kind of a fun question because I feel like we try to give lots of helpful advice.
And now we're going to give you some not helpful advice.
That we've heard at some point in our lives.
Yes. Mine, there was this one time I think I've talked about how I used to buy courses. I mean, I still buy some courses because I love to learn. But I bought this one, the very first course that I bought was from someone who I shall not name. Not helpful at all. Like, the tips were all so just vague, and I just can't believe I spent like a couple $100 on this. And it was literally just her saying, you just need to take good photos. Then you'll be famous. Just like take good photos and post consistently. And I'm like, no.
I know. It's like, I don't like it. I mean, yes, you have to have quality photos, but when people, like, their tip is literally, oh, just take good photos, it's like, no, like, what do you mean? How do I take a good photo? Like, what is a good photo?
Yeah, like, she was just like, just make sure there's, like, good lighting, just take some nice pictures, and then you're fine. And, like, there's so much more that goes into it than that. So that was probably, I wouldn't say, like, that's, like, bad advice, because, yeah, you should take good photos, like, your photo should be quality, but yeah, that was not helpful.
Yeah, and I feel like especially with the courses, like if you're going to spend a couple $100, I really think it should make not a bigger impact, but like
gotta have that ROI.
You know what I mean? Like I really feel like, okay, I'm going to spend X amount of money. Like I need to learn something that I
didn't know before.
Yes, yeah. And so I don't know.
There was zero ROI there. I just found myself watching these videos and just being like, oh, okay. Sure.
I've already learned this.
That's super helpful.
Okay, gotcha. All right, guys. So for the worst advice someone has given me, so I don't know if this is necessarily counts as advice, but back in college, when I was in the business school, like trying to find an internship, the business school invites different employers on campus and they'll like host events and invite students to come on. And then usually they do, you know, they teach some sort of a lesson and then they talk about their company and then they talk about like internship opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this company, and I won't name the company, it's a big firm, but the recruiter came in and when it came time to the question portion of the event, she was like, all right, guys, remember there's no such thing as stupid questions, just stupid people. And I was like mortified.
I can't.
I was like, I have never heard anybody.
It's so terrible.
I was like, that's very unprofessional.
This is a professional environment. Like,
and I was
who
like,
are you?
Why are you discouraging student? Like, it was a really, I mean, after that, the room was just like, it just felt really weird. And I was like, I'm not applying to this company. Like,
no.
This is the company culture there. And they're like, calling, you know what I mean, like
there's only stupid people.
I was like, no, I'm not doing this. And so again, I don't know if that's advice, but it was just like a phrase that really stuck with me and made me feel really uncomfortable. And I was like, all right, next.
Bye. Thank you, next. Ariana Grande. And the wise words of Ari.
Yes.
Anyways, guys, thanks for being here today. We wanted to share our personal tips on how we create content on a budget. We're going to be sharing tips on saving on props, clothes, photography, and more. So creating content without breaking the bank is super important for your business. You definitely want to stay within budget and hopefully not overspend on your costs. This can be really hard, especially when you're first starting and you're not necessarily making money from your passion yet. So you're just trying to grow and you're trying to figure out how to grow without spending all this obnoxious amount of money on it.
Yeah, because it can get really expensive. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like once you're further along to the process, you're like, oh, I should really like, you know, buy the new laptop or buy the new camera gear. But if you're just starting out and you're like, okay, what do I
like? I'm a broke college student. I don't have money. Mm-hmm. That was literally, yeah, like how I started. I didn't have any money. Like when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing. So like without these budgeting tips, I wouldn't have been able to take all the photos that got me where I am today.
Yeah.
So we're going to be going through all the different aspects of creating content and just dividing that into how you can save money and still create content in those different sections. So Emma.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and get this started by first saying you should set your content creation or your marketing budget. So even if you're not an official business where you're an LLC or you're a sole proprietorship or whatever that may be, if you want to start creating content, one way that I think really helped me was actually setting a budget.
So smart. I did not set a budget. And let me tell you right now, that is not the way to go. I ended up just spending. I was like, sure, like, got to spend money to make money, right? And then I just like spend hundreds of dollars on like clothes and props. And I was like, why not? Yeah, no, definitely make a budget.
Yes,
please.
Yes. And so, yeah, again, you don't have to be a business to make a budget. I mean, hopefully you're budgeting on a daily basis as it is, but especially when you're just starting out and creating content, like start out and think about like what you'd be comfortable spending each month. Like, are you only comfortable spending $50 a month on photography and clothes and props? Or if you are a few more years into your business, maybe you're willing to spend $250 a month. So depending on your budget, you'll pick, you know, and choose different things about content creation that you might want to spend or splurge. And so if your goal is to break even on blogging or your side hustle or your passion, then so this is like a business phrase, break even.
Break even.
I know. I'm actually going
to. Term of the day.
Term of the day. I really we're going to do like an Emma mini-sode about business terms to be aware of. And
so
I
professional.
Probably should like add break even. So break even costs is when the income, which is the money you're bringing in, is equal to your expenses. So you're operating at a net zero or you're not operating at a loss. Oh my gosh, so businessy.
You sound so fancy. I'm like over here like with my using my like kitten voice, like the voice I used to talk to my cat, and I'm like, aw, it's adorable. Budgeting, sure.
Yes. So if you just want to break even, and so if you're making a little bit of money but you want to cover your expenses, so that's like what you're going for, and that's totally fine. I'd say for like the first 2 years when I really started getting into blogging, I mean, I was not making money and I was getting gifted things and I was like, okay, I guess this is kind of a break even cost because the money I would have spent on clothes,
yeah,
I'm not spending that. And so I can spend it on photography. And so that's just like one thing to, I guess, like be aware of. It's like, do you want to cover your expenses or are you okay at this point in your content creation journey operating at a loss and spending some money now in hopes of making money later in the future?
Yeah, because I did kind of make fun of spending money to make money earlier, but to a degree, it can be true. You do need to know where you're investing. You're like, just make... We'll kind of talk through the different processes of it, but like you'll know what really brings the most value to your work through practice, and you'll see where the most you're getting the most value out of the money that you're putting into it. So it's a lot of trial and error, but you'll get there and you can start to focus on parts of your business that you really want to.
Yeah. And so now we're going to go through the different things within content creation that you could potentially spend more or save more. So hopefully it's more on the budget. And the first topic we're going to talk about is photography.
Photos.
Yeah. So photos can get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're, at least I've just like seen blogger friends actually on Twitter recently, there's one girl I was following and she's been having a really hard time finding a photographer.
Aww.
And like finding a photographer who's like within budget.
Yeah.
And like can be a great partner. And so if you're at a place where you're not ready to outsource photography and like find someone to take your photos for you on a weekly basis or maybe monthly basis, one tip we have is just to reach out to your blogger friends,
blogger buddies.
I mean, yeah, again, Maddie and I, when we travel, we shoot each other's content, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah.
And it saves on costs. Like
we don't have to hire a photographer, and we take so many pictures.
We take a ton.
Oh my gosh. From California, from one day, we got 500 edited photos. That is 500 good photos that could go on the feed.
It was
100. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, and it's also helpful for blogger friends taking photos because they know like what angles are good because they are obviously kind of in the industry and they know what photos typically do well, especially the more you hang out with each other. So blogger friends is a really great resource for photos.
Another great resource if you are like on a trip and you're trying to create content while on vacation is just reaching out to your siblings, your friends, or significant others, which I feel like Maddie is very well,
oh yeah,
well versed at.
Poor Sam. He takes all of my pictures.
And then when you are ready to reach out to photographers, so at least like, I don't know if you knew this about me, but Maddie, but like when I started the blog and I reached out to Holly, I had no money and I was in my senior year of college and I was like, hey, Holly, like, can we do this for trade for right now? Like when I start making money full time and I work, like I will absolutely pay you. But like
right now, can't make it happen.
I literally cannot make it happen. And for her, she was just getting started, like taking portraits and like actually photographing people. She used to photograph cars, which is kind of fun. I know, isn't that
really
funny?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the first person she really started shooting. And so we really just traded and I would tag her and everything. So that's a trade for promotion sort of deal.
Well, trade is really popular too, especially like when you're, I mean, not just in the blogging industry. I feel like it's coming up in the blogging industry a lot more now, but especially when, I don't know if you knew this, but in high school, I really wanted to be a model. I don't know why.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I wanted, I don't know. I like pictures. So I was on like a few modeling websites and they just call it TFP. So it's like time for photos. So it's basically like it's very common for you to, as a model, get extra prints by exchanging TFP with another photographer. So they'll get photos for their portfolio and then you'll also get photos for your portfolio. So it's basically you're trading what you have to offer. Like you're trading your modeling skills, they're trading their photography skills. So a lot of people are open to do that. You just have to have discussions with them about, you know, what that is going to look like, how many photos you're going to get, everything like that.
Yeah, so that's another thing to be considered about. Another thing about reaching out to photographers, and I know there's some photographers within Seattle who do this, but if you reach out to a photographer and you want to work with them for an extended period of time, so not just like a one-time thing, seeing if they offer some sort of discounted rate so you're on a retainer. And so I know there are some photographers who do offer that, so seeing if that's just an option, especially like, and I know at least like it is for blog on the blogger side, right? When we get a brand campaign that's for 6 months, then we know that guaranteed income is going to come.
Yeah.
And then for like photographers, on the other hand, like if they know you're going to work with them for the next 6 months for once a month, right? They know they're not having to go and search for work and they know that's guaranteed work. And so there is value in seeing if that's like an option that a photographer could offer.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think continued partnerships are really important. Yeah, just like you said, even working with brands, like there's a lot of value in that. So I think a lot of photographers are really excited about stuff like that too. And speaking of photographers, cameras is the next topic that we're going to kind of discuss because obviously cameras can be ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, like when I first started looking at cameras, I was like, what do you mean this thing costs $2,000? Like, what are you talking about?
Absolute insanity. Like, I remember my very first camera that I got was a camera from Costco that my mom bought me. And it was the only present I wanted for Christmas. I didn't want anything else. Like, I knew it was very, very expensive. So I didn't even expect to get it. But I was just like, all I want is a camera. And if I can have it, I will be fine if this is my only gift. And I remember my mom almost didn't get one for me because she was like, Maddie, that's so, she literally told me this. She was like, Maddie, it's so lame if you only get to open one gift and everyone else is opening gifts like for the whole like morning and you're just opening one. And I was like, Mom, like, I just want a camera.
Just the one camera,
I was
please.
Like, that's all I
that's
want.
That's all I need.
I didn't want anything else. So yeah, cameras can be ridiculously expensive, but there's tons of alternatives out there, especially as technology grows. I mean, who doesn't have a smartphone nowadays?
Yeah.
iPhone photos are actually really, really good quality. I know some people that solely do iPhone photos because they actually like the look better than a normal camera. They also have Lightroom presets on mobile, so it's super easy to use. You wouldn't even need to export your photos and edit them on a desktop. You could literally do it in your phone. There's all sorts of ways to just take the really high quality photos on your phone. Portrait mode is a lifesaver.
It really is. I do all my like fun food photos for stories on portrait mode.
Emma is a master of food photography.
I really should have been a food blogger, guys. No, I'm just kidding.
You should have. You take very good food photos.
That's my next thing. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, next thing. Everyone watch out for Emma's food blog. The foodie edition.
The foodie edition.
The foodie edition. But you can also get cameras for inexpensive other places. I think Amazon has typically some really good deals because you can buy used cameras. And then Costco also has some really good bundles for DSLRs. So you can get a less expensive version of a very expensive camera through both of those. Amazon also has inexpensive point and shoot cameras if you're not 100% ready to go full DSLR professional camera. So the point and shoot ones that they have are really great, and there's lots of really great reviews, and they'll often post photos that they've taken with those cameras, so you can kind of get an idea of what that's going to look like. But one of my favorite tips that I used all through high school and college was camera rentals, mm-hmm. which is you can, if you're in a college or high school, oftentimes you can rent a camera for free. So, like, no money. So you can just go to your photography department and ask to rent a camera.
Yeah, and this was actually a really big thing in my Masters of Digital Media program. I mean, people, because we were using, you could rent, like, actual, like, big, heavy-duty cameras for video, but, like, you could just also rent a DSLR and do video.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, another option that I always forget about. But, yeah, you could totally just, like, at least UW had a pretty big equipment rental system that you could go through and see what's available. And that's, I think that's also really a great way to test out cameras.
Yeah. Like, if you don't know which one you want to invest in.
I think that's a great way if you can rent.
Yeah. And there's also, I mean, even if you're not in college or in school, there's also ways to rent just around your community. Before this, I looked up Seattle camera rentals, and there was like 8 different websites that just popped up that looked really like legit, like, and weren't super expensive either. So I think there's a lot of different options out there, and again, you could use that as a way to test which camera you want to get. Maybe if you just want to do one photo shoot a month, it could be worth it to just do like a quick like $50 camera rental for the weekend, take some photos, and then just have your content all bulked up for the rest of the month. You can also, if you really are wanting to invest in one, payment options are also like increasingly becoming a thing, especially with high investment items like cameras. So you can always look into payment options on different websites that you're looking at. Amazon sometimes offers some, but I'd say like more likely if you're buying direct from Nikon or something like that, you could get a payment option.
Awesome. So now that we've covered cameras and photography, we're going to be talking about a few budget tips for clothing, shoes, and accessories. So If you are going into fashion blogging or anything related to that realm within Instagram or TikTok or whatever that is.
TikTok.
I mean, I know there's a pressure to always have new things, and that can be a lot. It's not good for the environment. It also can get very expensive.
So expensive.
If you're buying new things all the time. And so our number one tip for saving and just being more budget friendly for getting new clothes, shoes, and accessories is to shop secondhand.
Do it.
Yeah. So it's better for the environment because you're, you know, eliminating waste and you're not just buying new and then dumping it and that sort of thing. And it's also great for trying out trends. So I actually have a quick story about trends.
Ooh, story corner.
I know. And so I would say the animal print trend has, now it's not even a trend. I feel like it's been present for the last like year or so.
Yeah, it really stuck around.
It really did stick around. But I remember, when was that? It must have been like a year and a half ago when we started seeing like zebra print and cheetah print like really come into play. I wasn't sure how I felt about that trend.
Yeah.
Like I was like, man, am I actually going to buy like, you know, a $50 skirt just to like try this trend out? And so I decided not to do that. Instead, I went to Value Village where I usually shop secondhand, and I found a ton of animal printed just like tank tops and t-shirts and things like that.
I love Value Village.
I know, me too. And I was just like, wow, this is like still in like good condition. And so if you are trying to figure out like what trend, if that trend is going to work for you or not, chances are you'll probably find it at Value Village.
Just and you could just try it for like $5.
I know.
Yeah.
Instead of spending like $25 on a new t-shirt, you know, you really could just spend $5 and like see how you like it. So if you don't have a Value Village in your city or your town, there's other places you can shop secondhand. Have you ever tried ThredUp?
I haven't, but I've heard really good things.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ThredUp is also, it's an online, like, I guess, version of Goodwill and Value Village.
Yeah.
And so you actually, and I've done this before, you can send in your clothes that you're ready to donate, and then they will post it online for you, and you get like a little bit of money back or credit.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like, because I've tried like the ThredUp and I've tried Poshmark, and Poshmark for me is a little bit too much work.
I can't do Posh. It's such a cool concept. I just do not have the time. Yeah.
For me, it's like the time piece. Yeah. ThredUp, you just throw everything in the bag and they put it up for you. But I don't think you can make as much money as you would if you were doing
on
Poshmark.
Selling it individually. Yeah.
Because like what? I have maybe like $100 worth in credit at ThredUp, but like, I probably sent in 3 bags of clothes.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, well, that's better than just, I don't know, you know what I mean? Not getting anything from it.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely at least like try ThredUp.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. They have like designer stuff. You could find, you know, your favorite brands like American Eagle, Anthropologie, Free People, like everything you can think of ThredUp has.
I love that.
I know, me too.
Because I'm like, I can't afford you normally, so.
I will buy you secondhand.
I will buy secondhand, especially because, like, you can really experiment with your fashion secondhand, too. And, I mean, secondhand fashion is a huge just market in general for posting. Like, people love to see that you thrifted items because other people are also trying to save money. So, like, people love thrifted tips. Like, who knows? Maybe that could be, like, a passion of yours that you haven't discovered yet. Like, I remember in high school, all of my clothes were thrifted and I loved thrifting. I had videos on YouTube and I will never tell you my username because you are not allowed to see them ever. I need to delete them, but I forgot my password. So I'm going to need to go through a whole thing. But yeah, I had videos thrifting it's and awesome. Cutting my clothes.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So other places you can go to. So there's a few places like Buffalo Exchange, Crossroads Trading. At least there's like a Crossroads I used to go to at UW right on the Ave.
That one I went to.
I know. They always have great stuff just because there's, you know, college kids are always coming and going, mm-hmm. like emptying out their closets. They always had great stuff.
I will say they never bought my clothes. I got so annoyed. I would bring in bags of clothes because I buy a lot of clothes, you guys. And at this point in time, it was secondhand. A lot of it was secondhand, but they never bought my clothes ever.
Yeah, it can get kind of picky trying to resell in, but if you're trying to just refresh your closet, I'd recommend just going in there and seeing, you know, versus
so many items.
Yeah, they have a ton. And then if secondhand, like if there's that's not an option for you or you're not feeling that, I also just recommend like restyling things in your closet.
Yeah.
I feel like capsule wardrobes have become a really big thing over the last couple of years, or just restyling challenges, right?
Yeah. You know, just people like, love to see that.
Yes. And it's just realistic. Like the everyday girl or woman is not buying a whole new wardrobe every week, you know, that's not sustainable. And so, just embracing restyling and reshopping your own closet.
I think Jade Archives does a really good job of that too, because she's all about sustainable shopping. And she also talks about being a proud outfit repeater. I think she started a hashtag for that. Like,
I love that. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is hashtag proud outfit repeater, or just hashtag outfit repeater or something like that. But she is very proud of the fact that she wears a lot of her same outfits in her pictures. She just tries to make the pictures like extra creative. So that's not even something you're paying attention to, because for her, it's all about getting this beautiful shot. Like, it doesn't matter that, sure, maybe she wore the same outfit in it, you know, and that makes it easier if you're traveling and you don't have time for a lot of outfit changes too. Hashtag proud outfit repeater. And so then other ways that you can save money are definitely in the props. I love my props. Emma knows I yes. love my props. I probably spend the most amount of money per month on my props because I'm trying to make something cool, unique, creative. I just love playing around with the creative side of photography. So when I have an idea in my head, I will tend to spend whatever it takes to get me to that vision in my head, even if the photo doesn't even end up doing that well, because that was just my creative vision, and it's fine. Whether they're actually that cool or not, I don't know, but I think they're cool.
I think they're cool.
Thank you.
That was me fishing for compliments. I think they're pretty fine, but I love shopping for props. Amazon is probably the biggest place that I shop for props, just because when I get an idea in my head, I have a very particular vision of what that's going to look like. So if I want like a pink vintage phone, to me, like, it's really hard to go try to find that secondhand. Like, I've done that before, and I've done it before where I'll go to Value Village and I will find props and use those to get inspired for photo shoots. So I think it just depends on what way my process is going, whether that be like I have this idea in my head and I need to copy this exactly, or I'm just going to Value Village just to see what I can find, and then, oh cool, I find this cool lampshade. Like, I don't know why I thought of lampshade, but I found this cool lampshade, so this is gonna be what inspires my next photo shoot. You know, I just think it depends on where your inspiration's coming from, but you can go easily both ways. I also shop at Shein. There's a lot of really inexpensive like wardrobe pieces there that you can kind of like have inspired photo shoots for me before. I'll just kind of go on and not spend a ton of money on that either. And then one of my biggest tips for getting inexpensive props, and I can't believe I didn't think of this until just now because this is something that I use so often, is just PicsArt edit your photos.
Oh.
PicsArt, if you guys don't have the app PicsArt, it's free. I don't pay for it. It's just P-I-C-S art. A-R-T. But I love PicsArt. There was a photo that I did for Valentine's Day photo shoots where I didn't have, like, I didn't want to go out and buy, like, cookie dough or, like, anything, but I wanted it to be a cute, like, cookie baking photo. So I literally, like, used PicsArt to edit cookies in and edit, like, I don't think I edited the rolling pin in. I think I had the rolling pin, but I edited flower in. I edited the background in. Like, you can literally use PicsArt to make it look like all these props that you didn't actually have are there.
See, that's a great tip. Wow.
Yeah, it's, well, and it's not only isn't inexpensive, it's free.
It's free, yeah.
It's free. PicsArt is awesome. I love it. I will literally just edit all of my props into a photo.
All right, guys. So now that we've discussed props, we're going to go ahead and talk about a few ways to save and budget on tools to create content. And so we'll just go ahead and name off a few of the free tools you can use to create content. We actually covered these tools in our last episode about our top 10 tools, and so this is a little bit of a refresher. Canva, so that's a free platform. There are options to pay for like other layouts, but I never use the paid ones.
No,
I just use the free ones.
Yeah,
and Canva's great for Instagram story flyers or Pinterest pins or even Instagram posts. If you head onto our Instagram, you'll see some of our Instagram like in feed flyers,
little graphic guys.
Yeah, little graphics. So that's within our feed.
All Canva.
Yeah, that's all Canva. Planoly. So if you just do the 30 image uploads, that's a free tool. Again, there's a paid version, but you very much so could just do the free option so you can organize your feed and like make sure it fits, you know, your colors and your aesthetic and it makes sense to you. Trello, which we've talked a ton about.
We love Trello.
Great to organize your ideas.
I saw someone posted. Did you see that?
I did. I know. I wish I remembered. Yeah. Thank you whoever posted that and tagged us. We're so glad you're enjoying
that
Trello.
That was so cool. That made me so happy. I was like, we influenced someone. I was like, use Trello. I love it.
Yes. And then Flickr to upload photos. But wait, Flickr is not free anymore, is right?
It's free to upload 100 photos.
Okay. So
which
it's free.
Is like not a lot.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm gonna take Flickr back and I'm gonna say Google Drive.
Yeah, Google Drive's awesome. They're also starting to charge now though.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay,
if you use up to a certain amount of storage, it charges you, but you would probably get more photos on Google Drive than you would on Flickr. It's definitely more than 100.
Okay, so yeah guys, those are just a few free tools you can use to create and organize content.
And now that we've talked about how and where you can save on photography, cameras, clothing, props, and tools, we want to share a bonus tip with you guys before we wrap things up. So our bonus tip is, if you collaborate with other influencers or bloggers in your city and you're planning a shoot, split the costs. It can be super expensive really, really,
it
really
can
expensive
be really expensive
to buy like balloons. I remember for our first photo shoot ever together, like I bought these, like I was just really excited to shoot with you, full transparency. I was like, I have to impress Emma. I was like, I have to impress her with all the props and stuff that I'm bringing. And so I went and I got, balloons are super expensive if you have helium because of helium shortages and everything like that. So God, I don't even remember how much the balloons are, but I don't even want to think about it. I bought like a huge thing of balloons. We had flowers, everything like that. And I refused to split the cost because I was like, no, this was my obnoxious, like this was me.
It was like, just Venmo me.
No,
please.
I was like, this was all me. I did not really put a lot of thought into that. But yeah, if you are like thinking through that, even if like you guys aren't super hungry but you want to go do a lot of like food photography, like I'm eating ice cream, you could honestly just get one.
Yes.
And then
I feel like we've done that.
We have definitely done that before.
Like when we were in Arizona, like we didn't buy two different desserts. You bought one dessert.
Oh, the mimosa, the singular mimosa.
We also did one mimosa at our trip in LA.
Just one.
Because we were like, I don't really need a mimosa, but it'd be great, you know.
It'd be super cute for the pic.
For the photo. And so we literally, Maddie and I do that. We're like, one mimosa, one dessert. And we just like take turns holding it.
Yeah.
That's like one way you can also
save so much money.
Awesome. So thank you guys so much for listening to this week's podcast. We'd love to hear if you have any additional tips on how to create content on a budget. We'd also love to connect with you on Instagram at the Content Creatives Podcast, our personal Instagrams at Emma's Edition, at Mad Cray. And we mentioned this in our last podcast episode, but we did start a Facebook group.
Join the Facebook group. Yes. We are 50 members plus strong now.
I know. We're so excited.
Yes. And we did like an intro thing you posted. Emma posted this introduction thing where everyone got to just say like, hi, where they're from. And I was, oh my gosh, that was made like, my heart smile.
I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe there's like 50 people in here. Anyway, we're really excited.
Yes.
And let us know what you guys thought of this week's episode and let us know what the worst advice someone has ever given you on Instagram. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.